Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. My name is Shane Larson. I'm the Legislative Director for the Communications Workers of America. And thanks for joining us today on the release of this important report, which highlights the offshoring of U.S. customer service and call center jobs by many of the largest banks in the United States. Everyone can find the report at www.cwa-union.org/CWA-CBB-bank-offshoring-report. We believe this offshoring, the offshoring highlighted in this report is expected to get worse over time due to the recently enacted Republican tax plan, which created a lower tax rate for income earned overseas. Today on this call, we're going to hear from CWA President Chris Shelton, U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown, the top Democrat on the U.S. Senate Banking Committee, as well as Michael Lewis from Phoenix, Arizona, and Pam Wynn from Cleveland, Ohio. Michael and Pam are former bank customer service representatives who are representing the Committee for Better Banks. Just a note for everyone, we expect Senator Brown to join us at approximately 12:15. He's been down on the Senate floor on votes, so we expect him to join us about 12:15. Our first speaker is CWA President Chris Shelton. CWA represents over 700,000 members, with over 100,000 of them customer service and call center workers. President Shelton, all is yours.
Thank you, Shane, and thanks everybody for joining us today as we release this report shedding a light on the aggressive efforts by many U.S. banks to move thousands of U.S. customer service and call center jobs overseas. For a number of years, CWA has seen the trend of offshoring at the major telecommunications companies up close. It's a trend that has devastated many families and communities across the U.S. that were first decimated by the offshoring of manufacturing jobs. Now they're seeing decent customer service jobs sent away as well as corporate CEOs rush to exploit the cheapest labor possible they can find around the globe. It's a trend that we have been fighting aggressively. 40,000 CWA members went on strike at Verizon in 2016 to prevent the company from offshoring more of those jobs and stayed out on strike for almost 2 months until the company agreed to keep jobs here and bring call center jobs back from overseas. It's why we went on strike and held out for as long as we did last year at AT&T Mobility to get an agreement that more of the company's calls would not be routed to overseas locations and instead handled here in the U.S. And we fought in contract negotiations with other companies like American Airlines, where we represent reservation and customer service agents. Because of our efforts to fight this insidious effort to destroy good U.S. jobs, we've been watching overall trends in the country around the offshoring of call center jobs. As we've been monitoring call center closures, we really started to notice the closures by major banks of call centers around the country. 100 people here, 45 there, another 75 in another state, and on and on and on. At the same time, while monitoring trends and the press in the Philippines, we've seen announcements by major banks like Wells Fargo and Capital One announcing their growth and expansion plans of call centers serving the U.S. market in that country as well as others. This is especially outrageous as we were promised by the Trump administration and congressional Republicans that passage of their tax legislation would mean fewer offshore jobs. In fact, Speaker Paul Ryan said on his website that passage of the legislation would, and I quote, prevent American jobs from moving overseas by removing incentives that now reward companies for shifting jobs abroad. Most analysts have stated that the big Wall Street banks like Wells Fargo, Capital One, and Bank of America are the business that stand to gain the most by the changes in the tax code. So if that's the case, if they are the ones that stand to gain the most financially in greater income from the new tax code, shouldn't they be the ones doing the most to create jobs here in the United States, not doing the exact opposite of what the Trump administration and Speaker Ryan said would happen? This is why we are releasing this report, to start a conversation with the public in Congress and the political arena about how the big Wall Street banks, like Wells Fargo, are pocketing the money from the tax scam while destroying thousands and thousands of American jobs and potentially jeopardizing individuals' personal data by shipping these jobs overseas. It's why we need to repeal the provisions of the new tax law that incentivizes the offshoring of U.S. jobs by creating a lower tax rate for income earned offshore by passing the Doggett-DeLauro legislation to do just that, and pass the bipartisan U.S. Call Center Worker and Consumer Protection Act, which has been introduced in the House and Senate to help ensure that U.S. consumers have a right to request to speak to a U.S.-based customer service representative. I'm glad that we could be joined today by two workers whose lives were turned upside down when their employers moved their jobs overseas, as well as by Senator Sherrod Brown, the top Democrat on the Senate Banking Committee, who has been a longtime supporter of efforts to save call center jobs from offshoring. Shane, back to you.
Okay, now we're going to hear from two former bank call center workers who are representing the Committee for Better Banks. The Committee for Better Banks is an organization of current and former bank workers who have come together to raise concerns about the industry from a worker's perspective. First, we'll hear from Michael Lewis, who's a former American Express customer service employee whose job was offshored by that company. Michael?
Yes, hello. My name is Michael Lewis. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm here to talk about my offshoring experience with American Express, actually. I have a history with Wells Fargo and PayPal. I'm very familiar with financial institutes. That's basically what I do. But not too long after 9/11 in 2002, I was hired by American Express as a customer service representative. Through my years there, I spent almost a decade there. In 2007 and 2008, I was awarded with the Achievers Circle Award, which basically is the best of the best of customer service. As my reward, I was asked to go to Gurgaon, India, which is basically a suburb of New Delhi, and train people how to do my job. It was quite the experience. It was heartbreaking in a sense, because I knew that what I was doing was I was going to cost my family or my peers that I worked with for so long. I was going to cost a number of them their employment. But if I didn't do it, somebody would have had to have done it. In fact, I had to compete with my coworkers to get the privilege of going to New Delhi. So I was over there for what was initially, I'll start from the beginning. I was tasked by some program managers to help map our processes for the back office North American Merchant Services, basically everything involving businesses in America and Canada when it was incorporating, financial situations. So I did things such as Office of Foreign Asset Control complaints, but mainly it was lost funds, merchants trying to recuperate funds that were misappropriated. It was a complex job. I had it down. I'd done it for so long. And I went there, and initially my job was to be for 2 months to train exactly what I did. While I was over there, though, they had requested that I spend another month, so 3 months, helping to offshore another back office function, mainly involving banking changes, so DDA, ABA changes for businesses for deposits from American Express. When I completed, it wasn't a vacation, that's for sure. I was I would go into the office at 5 p.m. India time, which was like 5 a.m. American time, and I'd spend 12 hours there helping train, you know, a group of about 40 different young people to handle outbound calls in regards to the function. And as I was doing that, I had no support from India whatsoever. My American peers would get on the phone whenever they could with me. They were very supportive of me from America. Sorry about that. As I completed the job, the hard job, I flew back to be welcomed to a meeting by my manager's manager to tell us, me and my team, that we were now being let go. So in their defense, and America, you know, and I loved working for American Express. It was heartbreaking losing my job. And in their defense, you know, they gave a lot of the tenured people separation packages. And they gave me a promotion to a job I didn't like. And that's pretty much the gist of my story. It's humiliating and heartbreaking. And there were a lot of tears shed, you know, from the people that I'd worked with. American Express has very loyal employees. Some of my peers that, you know, were given their separation packages had worked with American Express for more than 30 years. The people that I trained in India were sweet people. They were getting what I learned, you know, the American Express didn't share this with me, but what I learned through my experience was they were being paid about a third or less of what they were paying us here in the U.S. And that's my story.
All right, Michael, thank you. Just wanted to check. I know Senator Brown is on his way. I don't know if he's been able to join yet.
Not as yet.
Okay, so now we'll hear from Pam Nguyen, who worked at a Bank of America call center in Cleveland, Ohio. Pam.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Pam Nguyen, and I worked at a Bank of America call center in Cleveland, Ohio for 3 years, from 2010 to 2013. There were approximately 1,200 workers in total in this building, in the call center. Many of us came to work there through referrals from our friends and family. While I worked there, my sister, my daughter, my nephew, and two nieces were also employed at the same center. I worked in the credit card department. We handled outbound calls, but there were many other departments, including mortgages, customer care, personal banking, and collections. In the credit card department, we were responsible for calling out to the customers about their new credit card accounts and how to activate the cards. We also advised them about the many benefits of using their new credit cards. In the last year that I was there, management slowly began to move people out of the credit card department into customer care and into collections. At first, they asked for volunteers to move, and then they started forcing people to change departments. At one point, they moved 80 out of the 200 employees out of the credit card department. I suspected then that our department was going to be eliminated, but I did not expect what came next. One day in October of 2013, our managers called us all together and told us there was going to be a big meeting and they were going to make an announcement. We looked out of the windows and saw press trucks, cameras, waiting outside, then we realized we were going to lose our jobs. Management announced that the whole center, the whole building was closing, and all 1,200 people would be laid off. They claimed that Bank of America would no longer be doing the work that we were doing at our center, but that made no sense to us. We were performing core functions of the business, credit card accounts, customer care, personal banking, mortgages, and collections. None of these things have stopped since our call center was closed down. One of the hardest parts about the closing was that it impacted entire families. Bank of America encouraged us to recommend our family members when new jobs opened. There were cases where all the adults in a whole household lost their jobs at once. Even though Bank of America offered some assistance for job searches and resume writing, this did not make up for the loss of a permanent job and, in some cases, several jobs in the same family. We were never told where our work went. They claimed the bank was no longer doing that work, but that doesn't seem quite accurate. There was no way to track the work or to know where it went once our center closed. But we always suspected that it went to offshore locations, and the bank did not want us or the customers to know about. This was a great impact not only to my family, but many families in the Cleveland area. Like I say, my daughter worked there, and it took her about 8 months to find another job to replace the job at Bank of America. So it had a great impact on families. That's my story.
Pam, thank you so much. I just wanted to check to see if Senator Brown had been able to jump on yet.
Yeah, I'm ready whenever you are. Yep.
Well, it's all yours, Senator.
All right, thank you. Thanks, and I appreciate it. I don't know if I was, I think I was listening to Pam Nguyen, and thank you, Ms. Nguyen, for your comments. Were just excellent, and I could feel the heartbreak in your voice and the sense that you have been betrayed, because you have been by the corporate America, and it's happened in far too many cases. I start with thanking President Shelton for putting this call together, and also thanks to CWA worker Michael Lewis, in addition to Ms. Nguyen, both from my hometown of Cleveland, for being on the call to share their stories. CWA's new report confirms what so many Ohio call center workers like Ms. Nguyen have known for a long time, that big banks like Bank of America think nothing of sending their jobs overseas. The tax bill Congress passed last year would only make this worse. I sat in the Finance Committee. I heard expert witnesses say loud and clear that the tax bill will encourage corporations to send American jobs overseas, to shut production down in my hometown, where I grew up, in Mansfield or Dayton or Youngstown or Toledo, and move jobs overseas and get tax advantages for doing it. Since the bill passed, corporations have spent their tax savings. They saved a lot of money in that tax bill. That tax bill, 81% of that tax bill went to the richest 1% of people in this country. Corporations got tens of billions of dollars in breaks. They have spent much of their tax savings on $200 billion in stock buybacks. Stock buybacks, basically, for all intents and purposes, they're bonuses for shareholders, for the CEO, and for top management. The company buys up shares of its own stock in order to drive up the price and increase the value for shareholders, and often the compensation for executives whose pay is tied to stock performance. So they negotiate, the executives get their way, their bonuses are tied to the stock price when they do the stock buybacks, which they've been doing now with this money they save from taxes. They buy back stock, it increases the price of the stock, and the executive's already making literally more than $1 million a year, some as much as 10 or 12 million, are going to get even bigger bonuses. Corporations, and more to the point, corporations have spent 30 times what they on buybacks than they've spent on to invest in workers. So they like to brag about a $1,000 bonus for a worker, and I'm glad they're doing that. But the stock back, if they're doing a $1,000 bonus for a worker, the stock backs are going to be 30 times that. If the tax bill wasn't enough of a giveaway to Wall Street executives, Congress is now turning its attention to yet another gift to banks. The bill on the Senate floor this week, that's where I'm in the car now, returning to the Senate floor to fight on this issue. This bill dismantles the consumer protections we put in place 10 years ago after the last financial crisis, when President Obama came to power and was trying to fix the economy that President Bush had left him. It puts taxpayers at risk of more bank bailouts. Don't take my word for it. The Congressional Budget Office confirmed that fact last night. This bill before the Senate will increase the risk of another taxpayer bailout for banks. It will add $671 million to the deficit. So it not only gives banks easier rules and less regulation, making them more profitable, often it also means $670 million from taxpayers. These are the same big banks that cash in stock buybacks while sending call center jobs overseas. And don't think these aren't connected for a moment. As they make more money, they decide to offshore more jobs. Instead of giving a handout to Wall Street bankers, we should have been focused on how we can support American workers and American jobs. I take great pride in the fact that the suit I'm wearing today is made 10 miles from my Cleveland home by union workers. Most Americans want to support American jobs by buying American whenever they can. That includes the customer service they get from call centers. That's why I introduced a bill that I've worked with President Shelton on, which would require call center agents overseas to disclose their location and to guarantee to U.S. customers the right to ask to transfer their call to a customer service agent who is located physically in the United States. We need to change how we think about work, how we think about our economy in this country. So many companies wouldn't be able to function without a good, strong customer service staff. Workers like Ms. Nguyen and Mr. Lewis contribute to their businesses. They bring ideas to work to make it better. We need to value their contributions, not end their careers and ship their jobs overseas. So thanks for speaking out, the two of you. Thanks to the CWA for making such a difference in so many people's lives. What you do really, really matters. So thank you for that.
Thank you very much, Senator. Thanks for all of our speakers on the call.